It's one of those, let me just point out, Mortified Penguin is a fantastic code name. I loved that code name. It's a very weird thing to say. Mortified Penguin was genius. Mortified Penguin was one of the code names of the bad guys.
Oh!
And I thought that was such a weird a combination of words. And I just thought, genius. I love that name for
of course.
A code name. Mortified
what
Penguin.
What else would it be? Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
I am well. I'm also confused.
Confused how?
Okay. The other day, Netflix finally started listing Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes, that's very true.
I don't watch a lot of stuff, as you know, but I was very interested because I know Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer is the only two anime that has ever surpassed One Piece in, I think it's Shonen Jump's rankings.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I know Demon Slayer was like the song and the thing was massive hit. And yeah, and Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty cool too. Yeah, so that makes sense.
I get why Demon Slayer did. I am 4 or 5 episodes into Jujutsu Kaisen. Why is this so excellent? I don't get it.
It comes a bit later. Have you met Gojo? Because Gojo's just the coolest character.
Gojo
ever.
Is he the blindfolded dude?
Yeah, the cool guy with the blindfold.
Yes.
That just seems overpowered.
He seems
right?
Pompous.
Well, naturally, yes, he is. He's got a good reason to be. And well, the first few episodes, you're not wrong. It's because they have to build the premise. The having to find the fingers and
being
an exorcist and stuff like
Sukuna's
that.
Sukuna's fingers.
Yeah, so it takes a little time for that to actually, to the good stuff to come into play. But it's also just very well animated. The animating on that is so nice. Just like Demon Slayer, which is also very well animated.
Is Demon Slayer also animated by MAPPA?
No. I think that's okay. Production IG, but I could be wrong.
So you're saying I should just keep going with Jujutsu Kaisen?
Yeah.
It'll get better.
Yeah, and the second season's pretty amazing. If you do get to that point, I don't think
there's
Netflix
a second season.
Yeah, I don't think Netflix has it yet, though. I think it's only one.
No,
season
I think
on
they
Netflix.
Just have the. I also saw Netflix has a movie.
Yes, there is a Jujutsu Kaisen movie. It's alright. I didn't think it was amazing, but it's alright.
Oh, okay. All right. I've been trying to watch a bit more anime, or just movies, or just Netflix in general.
In general, yeah.
But it's difficult trying to traverse on the home screen when your PS5 controller is broken.
No.
Yes.
This is the second time your controller's been broken, isn't it?
It really is, and it's the same piece again.
How hard are you pulling your triggers, man?
It's not okay. Listen. Flynn was playing Astro's Playroom, which is a fun game, and he accidentally dropped the controller on the floor.
Okay, that happens.
I think I died about twice when that happened.
Yeah, your heart stops, yeah? We know how expensive those things are.
But the springs on the DualSense snapped in both of them.
From dropping it?
At least I've got replacement springs, so I can fix the DualSense again.
Well, it's that stressful surgery whilst your beads of sweat
it does your
forehead
feel like
slowly,
surgery.
I don't know what it is. I hate springs and anything. That's annoying. I give you. It's always stressful. Well, now I guess Flynn can never touch the controller again.
Shame. No, he's still playing. But yes, I now need to conduct surgery on my DualSense because I am too poor to buy another one.
Well, yeah, they're super expensive, aren't they?
Too expensive.
$70, $80 now? Something like that.
Just above a regular game.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I'm sure you're. Oh, go on. That was a segue, right?
It was. I only realized that. Speaking of games,
it was a good one. So today's game. Now, ladies and gents, we've played one of these games before. Today's game is Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell: Pandora Tomorrow.
Yes, apparently one of the better Splinter Cell games.
Yeah, because the game we played in the past was Double Agent.
One of the not-so-better Splinter Cell
Yeah, you can imagine we weren't a huge fan No. I was okay with it. Somebody else wasn't a huge fan.
It's me. It's
yeah, he did not like it at all. So we're going into a second 2004 Pandora tomorrow, so it's 20 years old. It is a game, I guess, penned by the novelist Tom Clancy, if you don't know who he is. He penned multiple books, and books that turned into movie. You got The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, Some of All Fears. Some of them are very, very manly movies. And like,
yes, very, loads of dad movies.
Yes, yes. So he's sadly, I believe he's dead now, but he's kind of iconic in the...
Very true.
The sabotage and CIA and secret agents and stuff type of genre.
Yes, and unfortunately, he's signed the rights to his name and works over to Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft. Yeah.
And it feels like they've just been, well... maybe not abusing his name, but just slapping it on every second realistic shooter, or even not a realistic shooter, that they can spit out annually.
Yeah, they did really, they really did take his name and use it as like a branding thing now, instead of actually a seal of approval, so to speak.
Yes, or honoring his legacy, what he's made.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Now, apparently, it's Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction, where you fight virus zombies.
Oh, damn, really?
Yes.
Is that
Rainbow,
thing?
Yes, oh, Tom no. Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction. You've seen that.
That's I do know what you mean. That's sad, really. Now you pointed that out, because, yeah, I don't think he would be into zombies in the slightest. Everything about his books are kind of real, like real-life people and situations and... Okay, well, yeah, you're right.
That's why dads find the appeal in his stuff.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right.
This, thankfully, was before all of that corruption happened. This Tom Clancy Splinter Cell Pandora tomorrow is very real still.
Yes, this sticks to the his normal backbone or sort of way his books go. They are real people, real dangers, real scenarios. This was developed by Ubisoft Shanghai and Milan, which I thought was kind of cool. I wouldn't expect any country apart from like America to do it, but Shanghai and Milan did this game, which is...
Right, so Eastern and European developed a very kind of American story.
Yeah, kind of a combo across regions.
Could probably be why the bad guy isn't Asian or European, yes, but true. South American.
That's very true. A couple of weird things about this game, though. It got a side-scrolling adaptation for the Game Boy Advance and mobile, which...
Not surprised.
I don't know why anybody would want that. Like,
what do you mean? This came from the time where you needed to develop a video game for every platform.
Oh, yeah.
And none of the platforms were kind of... able to cross-pollinate. It needed to be a brand new video game for each platform. Mm-hmm. Like the Harry Potter games, the early Harry Potter games.
Yeah, they went everywhere at one point, didn't they? Yeah, that's
but
true.
They're different games on each platform.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and on that note, did you know that the PlayStation 2 and GameCube version of this game actually had an extra level in it compared to the Xbox and the PC and stuff?
Really?
Because the controllers couldn't... do all the things that an Xbox controller and a PC could do. So what? they had to streamline the gameplay a little bit, so you didn't get to select like open door or select use mines. So because
what?
The gameplay was simpler, they put an extra level in the PlayStation 2 and GameCube version than they did the PC and Xbox.
This is making complete sense.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't
it? I'm jumping ahead. I actually had one of my notes that I was incapable to use my keyboard or controller to play this game because I just didn't have enough buttons.
Yes, that's exactly. Because the GameCube had that weird little controller, didn't it? Didn't have many buttons on it. And of course, the PlayStation 2. Yeah, so that's literally... I love how for some reason they just put an extra level and there. So there you go. That's the difference for you. You get to play... I don't know what the level was, but yeah, that was a weird thing. Because you're right.
Ooh.
They kind of pushed it on every console. PlayStation 2, Xbox, later on to PC, and it got remastered in 2011 again for PC mainly and the newer consoles.
I can see that. I totally get why people really like this game. I get why people would like that. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I get it. It's also in theory. When I was playing this game, I have read a few of his books, and I thought to myself that you've got to be. It's almost old enough to enjoy it, if you know what I mean. You have to be into James Bond movies and just the culture of those things, and then it goes well with this game. And if you're not into those things, this game just possibly wouldn't click with you. I myself don't like stealth games. I don't like stealth games. I don't have the patience for stealth games. I get the people who do, but the whole just waiting on screen and hiding in the darkness for what feels like forever and then pouncing, it's never been my forte.
Yeah.
But I do get that that's still a very popular genre out there, be it the Thief franchise.
Same. All the other games. There are a couple of those stealth games. Dishonored is one of them.
Yes, exactly.
Although Dishonored's giving you a lot of more traversal mechanics.
Yeah, and magic mechanics. And fun things.
Yes.
Okay, should we jump into the narrative then?
Let's. I think the first thing of the narrative that I really want to clarify is this game got released back when the Tom Clancy label still meant something. We spoke about this earlier, but nowadays the Tom Clancy label is absolutely nothing. It's tiny. It's hardly even on the box itself.
Yes.
Then, have you seen the box art for this game?
I slightly remember it in my head, yeah.
The label, Tom Clancy, takes up half of the entire box.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right. The newer games, Tom Clancy's quite a bit smaller, isn't it? Like, very small comparatively.
Hardly even there, I think.
That's kind of sad. I just realized the guy's died.
Really,
you know, this is his legacy. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, it's a good point.
You're right. It is sad. It was bigger then. Now it doesn't mean much.
Agreed. It's one of those, let me just point out, Mortified Penguin is a fantastic code name. I loved that code name. It's a very weird thing to say. Mortified Penguin was genius. Mortified Penguin was one of the code names of the bad guys.
Oh.
And I thought that was such a weird a combination of words. And I just thought, genius. I love that name for code name. Mortified
Penguin.
What
else would it be?
Yeah. And it's one of these games where the narrative is very like... Tom Clancy movies, but always like 24. You remember the TV series 24, Jack Bauer,
and all the other things, right? With Solid Snake.
Yes, exactly. But there's lots of the times where you're reading it, and then it's like there was what like something called like the Dan, and then this other person, and then this other person, and it gets to the point where I'm like, oh, I have no idea what's going on. Just put me in the level, and then tell me what to do in that regards, because. And strangely enough, I'll give them to their credit. What they were mentioning were actual real places and kind of real movements.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it wrong. The Dora Dandoa or whatever was actually a genuine Indonesian movement in like a long time ago.
But this is Tom Clancy.
Yeah, this is their reference stuff is actually pretty accurate. They play with it, obviously, but what they use is actually pretty intriguing and it's actually relatively spot on.
Yeah, I do. And I think not just Tom Clancy, but what the Splinter Cell franchise underneath the Tom Clancy label has made are a good bunch of games. I think they've got worse over time, like Double Agent, but Pandora Tomorrow is still part of that original trilogy.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
Where the games were good. Sam Fisher, I think now has become, or was a couple of years after this, a regular household name in the world of gaming.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
He's not been around as much lately because Ubisoft can't figure out how to monetize.
Yes. Well, we all know Ubisoft's like just twirling out of control in a greedy corporate miasma.
But that's why I think we've not gotten another Splinter Cell game.
No, agreed. It's because they
can't figure out how to monetize it into the ground.
Yeah, they want to, how do we put the infrared goggles behind a paywall and how to
exactly
put the jump split jump into
let's level gate the guerrilla militia.
Yeah, exactly. No, like I said, we could go on this rant for a long time.
Let's not. You're right.
The storyline in this game, I don't know how far you got. I got
not
relatively
not
far.
Much say. Far. How about you give us the lowdown?
Well, it's a very slight spoilers, right? You're after a gentleman. He, I think his name was Sahdahi Sadano.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm going to say it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. He's trying to weaponize smallpox, right? He then has a dead man switch on him so he can't be killed because then the smallpox will be released, blah, blah, blah. And then the story gets very peculiar. Because then it's a revenge plot because he lost his leg. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are you telling me all this came down to because a gentleman lost his leg? I was either really very confused.
Okay,
yes,
so did he lose a leg?
Yes, he did. He had a fake leg, and he was upset.
Like, in the story of the game, he lost a leg. Or did he lose a leg?
No, he already had lost a leg when this game started. He lost a leg working for Uncle Sam or on a mission. He used to be a CIA agent.
So he wants revenge
for his leg. That was one of the weird plot twists. What? And
so now
story.
He's giving everyone smallpox because he can't go for a jog anymore.
I couldn't quite understand it. It was just very strange that, don't get me wrong, losing a leg sounds like that sucks. And that would I'd be really angry about it. But yeah, he wants to kill a bunch of people because he lost his leg.
He wants to kill a bunch of people because he's salty.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. That's right. He thinks, how can I get back at them? Oh, yeah. Kill a bunch of innocent people.
Of course.
But the narrative of this game, it's one of those weird things where back in the day, the PlayStation 2 era and the GameCube, so this story would have been perfectly fine because games weren't, you know, it wasn't God of War level of narrative.
No, that's just what games were. You had a vacuum cleaner and you were... Sucking up ghosts in this mansion.
Exactly.
That was games.
But there was the ending of this game is insane.
Ooh,
and I mean this in a bad way.
I mean this in a bad way. Let's do this. I really want to hear what this is. Ladies and gents, we're going to be doing something very rare here.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about spoilers.
Yes, this will be a spoiler.
If you don't want to listen to the spoilers, I don't know, skip... 4 minutes ahead. That's a completely random number.
I need to hear what this is going to be. I'm going to let's lay it down very briefly. One last smallpox bomb about to go off. We manage. Time's running out. Evac. The helicopter evac's not going to get there in time. You've only got 10 minutes. So everybody's like, "I'm sorry, Sam," and he says, "No, I know what to do with it." And he covers it in a big, like, disposal shell. And this is his plan. This is the most mental plan ever. He takes it to the local airport.
Yes.
With 8 minutes left.
Okay, wait a minute. There's a smallpox bomb.
Yes. It's covered in a top. Yeah, right?
It's covered in a top, and he's taking it to the airport with 8 minutes remaining.
Yes.
I'm assuming he's driving in a truck or something.
No, he. This is fundamentally near the airport. This was originally going to go off. So he actually gets into a maintenance outfit, he just walks it through and puts it in the middle of the airport and leaves. Because his plan is that local airport security will call Bomb Squad and Bomb Squad will come out and sort out the bomb in 8 minutes.
What?
His plan is to leave it in a public area and leave, and that's a fine idea. He literally drops it. Goes off into his car and drives away, and like the next bit is the news anchor saying,
"No,
today at LAX, the bomb squad had to disarm a bomb with 8 minutes left."
Was it LAX?
I think so.
One of the busiest airports.
I just thought, Sam, you're nuts. You're absolutely out your mind.
That's horrible.
That was the weirdest ending that you would just be like, oh, well, I can rely on local airport
security. That's horrible. TSA will handle it.
Yeah, exactly. Within 8 minutes. Because they're all just in a break room, just sitting there ready for something, right?
Oh, no.
I was like, whoa.
Oh, that sucks. That's a bad ending.
I was shocked how weirdly dumb that whole ending was. Like, come on, weirdly dumb.
You're right. I mean, I'm sure the rest of the game's narrative is fine.
Yeah. It's okay.
I just thought it was weird.
I'd figured, you know, doing the cliche thing like letting it explode underwater or flying it up straight into the air on a jet, you know, like a cliched ending.
Yes,
sort of
flying
small.
It straight up over Antarctica and then telling Penny.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Penny's asking you, "What about our date?"
Yes.
And then Captain America says, "Whoa, we'll have to reschedule."
Wow, your Captain America is amazing, by the way.
Thank you, I've got America's ass.
It's such... So yeah, that was weird. When you're playing the super serious game, And it's all super serious. It's all terrorist organizations and guerrilla warfare and sneaking and interrogation.
And then this. And then he
leaves it in a public area, complicated. It was just odd.
It's supposed to be a climax, you know, making you feel like a bombastic hero.
Yes.
But no, you're
that
right.
That was strange to me. That was just so strange.
We said this earlier. That's what games were.
Yes,
20
exactly
years
true
ago.
That is what
games were. A lot of them only figured out way later. I think it might be large part due to the Uncharted series. Big bombastic sequences and set pieces to a huge scale is what's making you feel like this superhero.
Yes,
and that's what a lot of people want out of video games.
Well, potentially,
I'm just going to say, leaving a tiny bottle of smallpox at an airport and then just dipping.
Just leaves, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. But I always thought with the PlayStation 2 era, because we had the NES and the SNES and the Mega Drives, and then the PlayStation 2 was like the big one. It was it's one of the most sold consoles of all time.
I guess so.
And you
jumped
kind of
forward a couple of milestones.
Yeah, and then you grew up with the game console. So in theory, they had to make the stories more grown up because, you know, the 10-year-old you or 15-year-old you would play that and go, yeah, I was cool, Sam Fisher. But when you're 10 years older and you do it, you think, oh. So I often wonder if the development of narrative has just always grown up with the people. It's why That's why people want a Pokemon game that's got a more adult story to it now. Because we played it as kids and we would love a grown-up version of Pokemon. I know it's a weird thing to say. I don't mean death and
no, of course. Warfare. But I mean, that was the entire argument for the latest Zelda games, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, exactly.
You've not played Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, have you?
No, I have not.
It's the most hand-holdy, treat-you-like-a-child game I've ever played. Every second step, you get a clear instruction. Remember, you need to go into the dungeon and then
That sucks.
Climb the vines, don't forget. Yeah, and then they remind you three times on the way.
Because Zelda games have always been hard. Like, I remember the Game Boy Color versions I had years ago. Mm. There's a lot about Zelda games where you don't know where you're supposed to go next, right? And the puzzles inside of the things. A lot of people miss that genre of gameplay because you had to actually work it out.
Yes.
And when you're held by hand-holding, it makes it really frustrating, right?
Exactly. But that's what the older Zelda games were. Mm. We're going on a tangent now. And then kind of made the formula into this hand-holdy thing because people were dumb.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, everyone grew up, and now Breath of the Wild, the least hand-holdy game in existence, is blowing up, or has blown up. Excuse me. Do you think Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow holds your hand?
Ooh. No and yes.
Yeah,
in Pandora Tomorrow, they kept telling you you can use lethal takedowns, or you don't, or you can't use lethal takedowns, and that message came up on the screen all the freaking time. It's like I know, I've been told three times I'm not allowed to do lethal takedowns.
I'm underneath the table with terrorists.
Yes,
shut up, third echelon.
Yes, it was one of those moments. But again, that's more like you said, it's the genre of the game. You did have to have those prompts.
Yes.
Anything else, narrative-wise?
No, I think let's move on to visuals. So, I was looking at the year this got released in, 2004, and I was thinking of what other games came out in 2004.
Oh, yeah.
The two that I got that we've already reviewed is Bad Boys Miami Takedown and GoldenEye Rogue Agent.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And weirdly, these three games kind of look very similar.
They do, yeah, it's true.
There's a very clear visual communication going on with what games were at the time.
Mm. Yes, yeah. There was a buzz theme between all of them, right? The whole spies. Yeah, there was a whole stealth spy kind of genre within that time where it just blew up, right?
But then I got reminded of this other game I played decades ago at Fields. Have you ever heard of a game called Freelancer?
Oh, yeah, the space game.
Yes, the space game.
Yeah, I know Freelancer. Good game.
That game also got released in 2004.
That was a great game. I used
to, that was an excellent game, and it looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember. I remember. It was one of the first times where I saw smoke effects on cigarettes. I know it's a weird thing to say, but that's one of the things I remember.
Completely valid. It's incredible that game got released the same year as Bad Boys Miami Takedown.
Oh, don't even get started. Yeah, well, we all know. Go listen to that episode, ladies and gents. Wasn't the greatest game we've ever played.
No.
Surprisingly enough.
But Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow, I liked some of the visual effects. It does look like it got released in 2004, but then it does a couple of things, like in the first level, when you start, it's dusk. And then when you end the level, no loading screens, you just end the level, it's already night. Meaning throughout the entire level, slowly but surely, the sun setted and the moon rose.
Which, ladies and gents, I know it's very commonplace now, but this is actually a big thing. Time was going by. Yeah, right? This was
during your gameplay. It was and it was slow and it was key. And there's just a lot of visual aspects of this game that I liked. Like in the subway level, when a subway just crashes past you, just annihilates past in the tunnel.
The subway train, yeah?
Yes, the subway train. Papers start flying around.
It's those little things I notice as well. Like, it's a weird thing to say, curtains blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
I know it's a weird thing to say, but when you're sneaking around and you see the curtains blow around because the window is open.
And it really does. I mean, there's a bit where you move through one of these open windows and the curtain, the physics react to Sam Fisher underneath it.
Exactly.
How cool 20 years ago.
This was, and if you look back at the reviews and stuff of a game like this, this was one of the defining moments in the Xbox's type of graphics capabilities and the PCs, because this was cool. This didn't really happen. Even Sam's movements are very realistic. Like when he climbs down a hole, it's not like super ninja climbing down. It's his arms either side, then he scoots his butt down and then hangs from it. Everything about it, like visually, has actually been slowly put into each scene, which
it's great.
Which is actually it really was. I was playing the game, and it being 20 years old, I was kind of expecting, okay, I've got to put my PlayStation 2 goggles on and kind of like get ready in Xbox genre and be ready for like some basic visual effects. But this is one of those games that stood out as, whoa, this actually did push the boundaries in what you could visually see in games. There was a lot of stuff that was just really well done.
Yes, like the atmosphere. I think the atmosphere for not only this game, but the series, the Splinter Cell series, it just captures this extremely realistic espionage atmosphere.
Yes.
I'll delve into this more in audio, but you really do feel like, and I think it's the lack of music, feel like this, where you're playing this level, is a level that is lived in. And those are the best levels.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed entirely, yeah.
Like those, when you move through cabins and underneath cabins, it really does feel like a place that is being lived in, a town in South America, and not, you know, of game made for a video level made for a video game.
Yes. Not just generic, like, multiplayer map.
Where it's
building, runway, something like that. But you're right. Even just the ambient noises, the bugs on the first level, and the fires that you can hear kind of crackling.
Oh, man, that's my favorite part of the audio.
Yeah, right? It is. One other thing I like visually is I kind of liked, I don't know if this was also in 24, but I liked how between missions, it was the news reports on TV that kind of told the story. Like, you did one mission, and then the next one, like on the loading bit, was the news report saying,
told the story, but conveyed the aftermath of your involvement.
Yes, yeah. I thought it was a really clever way of doing it. I kind of liked the idea that,
and in
the Philippines somewhere, or wherever it was, Indonesia somewhere, a terrorist group called was taken out by, you know, was taken into custody yesterday. I thought it was a really clever way of moving the story on.
Not just that, but realistic as well, because we've got news, newscasts every single day all over the world.
Yes, exactly. No, I thought that was a cool little idea. Do you want to know one thing that cracked me up, though, visually?
Is it their faces in the cutscenes?
No.
Okay, because they've got horrible faces.
They do have horrible faces. It was,
but that could just be PS2. Anyway. Yeah,
that's what I mean. There's one part, say, mid-game, where... Oh, God, I'm the worst at their names. What's the... Iving or Arvine? The guy who's speaking to you in your ear all the time.
Oh, Lambert. Lambert.
And the only reason I remember that is
Arvine.
Whatever. Lambert, there's a scene later on where you see Lambert in his CIA office and he's smirking about a mission complete and he goes to pick up his mug. And on his mug is the Ubisoft logo, which is, okay, it's cheesy. And then he goes and drinks from it, but the mug is 3/4 the size of his head. The mug is like a soup bowl. I don't know what they're drinking at CIA.
Super mug.
Whoa. You should just see the comparison to his head.
I can just imagine the studio in Ubisoft, the development office. Yeah. The senior developers coming to the designer. Hey, make sure the logo's big. We want people to know this is Ubisoft.
You should see it.
The designer says, but boss, this logo is going to be the size of his front door, by the way you're describing it. It doesn't matter. People need to know it's Ubisoft.
Yeah, it's... You should see it. It's like, I remember showing my wife, and she was like, it's like a cup of soup or something, right? It's like, it was such a huge mug. It was so dumb. Like, because, ladies and gentlemen, everything isn't kind of weirdly scaled. Everything else is scaled to the size of a human.
Yes, this isn't realistic.
I don't know why that mug was so massive. It was so dumb. But it did make me laugh.
I'll tell you, it's because the logo's on it. I mean, the mug was probably a regular sized mug until they put the logo on it. And then they said, no, needs to be bigger.
Yeah, make it bigger. No,
make it huge.
That was so dumb. It was so funny, though.
Dumb things like this were kind of excused.
Yes, it really was. Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah, very much so that in that era.
It's hilarious. Let's move on to audio.
Yeah, I thought you'd want to. Go on. What do you think
so
of the
ambiance, we said this earlier, the ambiance for this game is exceptional. I really like the ambiance, right? But it's not just this game. I think it's this entire series. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Double Agent. I just didn't realize because the game sucked. This one, though, I really liked. And I keep going back to that first mission. But at this mansion level, it's all when you're just moving around in the dark, it's almost deafening the amount of bugs and bog sounds you can hear.
Actual life surrounding you whilst you're trying to sneak around, right? Yeah.
The ambiance is incredible, and I find that extremely immersive.
Yes, agreed. Like that, if you had that level, like you said, and it had no noise, and it was just the noises you made climbing, it would feel like a tutorial level, or just, like I said, a multiplayer map. And they do very well in all of the little locations you play at.
Yes, it's throughout the entire game. This immersive ambiance carries over for the entire game as well. It's good.
There was a great little moment in the subway one you mentioned where you have to climb on a train to kind of sneak past someone.
Yeah.
And the train creaks under your footsteps because it's an old, like, unused train. So you actually hear it go... And you're like, whoa, can you hear me? There's a level of pressure to... Your footsteps actually make noise.
Yes, I remember.
Walking through the water makes noise. Everything about it makes you think, are they going to see me? I'm like, are they going to hear me? I'm like, it's an added layer of stress in a game where you're supposed to be sneaky sneaky.
Which just makes it, I mean, if you're that immersed and you're that in tune with what's being conveyed to the enemy, that's a sign of a good stealth game.
Yes, totally agree. But then there were those moments when you got caught or there was a moment where you had to... stop them from shooting all the PCs before, because we need that PC. And then all of a sudden the music would kick up and it would start going to high octane, like drumming.
Yes.
Right. That those moments again, one of my favorite moments of all time, it's not this game, it's in Half-Life 2 when you're sneaking out the city and you're in the train yard. And then
and you're in City 17 and you're just looking at the Citadel and it's just dispersing hundreds of thousands of those surveillance bots.
Yeah, and that music that goes with that.
It's so insane. Half-Life 2.
Yeah, it's a great game. I know it's a tangent, but by all means, play Half-Life 2.
Listen. List. If you can hear me.
Yes.
We need Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
All hell the list.
They all hell the list. But there was, again, audio-wise, some things that were hilarious. But intentionally yeah. so. It was intentionally hilarious. There was one guy who you have to interrogate, so you, like, grab him and pull him into the darkness, and he said, and Sam goes, "Where's your leader?" And the guy goes, "I don't speak English." It was so dumb, because he's like, "I don't believe you." And he's like, "Oh, damn, you're right. I replied in English, didn't I?" It's funny.
But I think it's that same interrogation. This could probably just be writing. Yeah. But the guy, he kind of let slip that what did he let slip? You're kind of escorting someone.
Yes,
and then
that's
Sam
right,
asks,
that's right.
"Who are you escorting?" "Oh, no one." And then he just asks more intimidatingly,
"Yeah, that's right.
Who are you escorting?"
That's right.
"No one, we're not escorting anyone." And then Sam just asked for a third time, even more intimidatingly, "Who are you escorting?"
Yeah.
And like, then he says it.
It's like
what
talking
made the
to
difference?
A child that's been naughty.
Yes.
"Did you hit your sister?" "Did you hit your sister?" "No." "Did you?" "Yeah."
Yeah.
Sam's. That segue. Sam Fisher is voiced by a gentleman known as Michael Ironside.
A name.
Right? Great name.
And he's a famous actor as well.
He is. Do you know from what?
I looked it up yesterday and I was surprised.
Well,
I can't remember.
I'm sure you've probably never watched the movie Total Recall, the original.
Whoa! No, I haven't.
No, I didn't think so. He plays Richter, the main bad guy in that. He also, for people who've been playing Helldivers...
Wait, Total Recall, is that the sci-fi
The
movie?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger. The triple-breasted hawk.
I knew it was coming. It's everyone's go-to in Total Recall. Is that the one with that lady in it? That special
lady. The triple-breasted hawk from Erotic on 6.
Exactly. Yes, it is she in there too. He also, if you've been playing Helldivers, a very good game out there, a movie you have to watch is Starship Troopers.
I was going to say, was he in Helldivers?
No,
too?
I wish. But he is in Starship Troopers. He plays one of the badass captain squadron leader dudes, and he's great in it. I freaking love his
fantastic
character.
Michael Ironside, I think he's been voicing Sam Fisher for...
Yeah, he really has for a long time.
For a very long time. Just like... Oh, who's the guy that voices Solid Snake? You know, 24.
Yeah, you're right. Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, that's right. These two have been voicing these two characters for decades at this point. It's incredible.
Another little tidbit. Old Irving Lambert, that's his name, so you remember now, was played by a gentleman named Dennis Haysbert. Now, that doesn't really...
Does his surname include a question mark?
No, my handwriting always includes a question mark. I can barely read it a lot of the time. It's another weird thing to bring up, but it does match. Did you ever watch 24?
Sometimes, because again, that was such a dad series. My dad used to watch 24 all the time.
Of course, no, you wouldn't.
So I got glimpses of it.
It's a passage of being a man. You've got to watch 24 because it's...
Yes.
I don't know if you watch it, but the president was this big, burly, deep-voiced black man. And he plays, he's the same gentleman who plays Lambert in this. He also plays... I don't know if you've watched Lucifer. You must have seen it on Netflix.
No.
About Lucifer, the devil and angel. He actually plays God in that series. And he also plays a couple, an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine as Holt's old partner, which is a great scene, by the way. But he's got a great voice. His voice is so deep and like thick and luxurious. I wish I had a voice
like
this.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, if the majority of this character is going to be spoken over comms, then
exactly.
You need to get someone with an excellent voice.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes complete sense.
And he was great at it. And like I said, he was very good at the president in 24 too. Like, he's a great actor. I always love finding these actors that do video games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You'd figure it was only ever series and TV and movies because, you know, I'm a serious actor, right? I don't do video games. But I love seeing these older gentlemen who are like, "No, I do video games. Like, I don't mind video games. I like doing voiceover work." I think that's really cool
great.
to find out.
Like J.K. Simmons in Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes! God, don't get me started. I love J.K. Simmons. And just him and everything. I love that man.
Yes, but yeah, but exactly right. He seems to be totally okay with all of these types of stuff. I mean, he's in Invincible as well.
Yes, I just finished watching season 2 of Invincible. So yeah, he's great in that. But I do love, he's like I said, there was an interview with J.K. Simmons. He just loves art forms, be it drumming movies and be it... the movies he's in and video games and anything. He just loves the art behind
There you go. That's an artist. You're not judging. Yeah, you're not looking
no,
down.
No, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Man, that's good. Kudos, J.K. Simmons.
Yes, great guy. Great guy. Anything else audio-wise?
No, I think we should move to... I don't want to, but let's go to gameplay.
Gameplay. I figured this is where... Damn. This is where you're going to get annoyed, just, right?
It's... I want to say annoyed. Maybe annoyed, sure. More divisive.
Okay, fair enough.
It's, on the one hand, right, I think making a game in which you only sneak around is such a brave move with other games like Call of Duty being around, right? Mm. When this game got released, I think there was 3 Call of Duty games.
Oh, really? Was it that deep already by that point?
Yes. That's interesting. Okay. The first one in 2003, and then it got 2 quote-unquote spin-off games in 2004.
I remember the hype. Yeah, yeah.
Before Call of Duty 2 got mainstream. This game, I think it takes some big balls to make a slower game when games only started going faster.
Yes, that's very true. No, I agree entirely. I literally wrote down here, patience is key playing this game.
It really, really is. Yeah, it really is. You need to have patience for this game. And gamers don't have patience.
I certainly don't. I'm definitely in the category of like, God, would this guy walk past me already? Just sitting there in the darkness. Sorry, I interrupted you. But yeah, there's so many moments where I almost...
I think gamers are growing up.
I almost made a coffee in the time that I was waiting for one guy to freaking come round. But go on.
On the one hand, you've got that, and on the other hand, geez, this game has some of the least intuitive controls I've ever had the displeasure to come across.
That's very,
it
very
makes
true.
Zero sense.
Yes.
No sense at all, and I don't like it.
And the amount of times I accidentally pushed the wrong button or did the wrong thing that screwed up the entire scenario.
Yes.
They find you, and you're kind of screwed. You can run away and stuff, but... It feels like you've done something too stupid, so it's easier just to restart because you'll accidentally shoot something or throw something or make noise doing something. Yeah, I found the control scheme was nutty. There's no doubt.
No, it's the way I tried playing it on a keyboard. I mean, the keyboard's not ergonomic at all. No. People try to say that it's the best.
I played on the keyboard because I couldn't get the controller thing to work.
Oh, no,
I couldn't.
No, the keyboard didn't work. I tried the controller. It didn't have enough buttons, you said earlier.
No, that's right. It really did.
So
really
I kind
doesn't.
Of had my one hand on the controller, my other hand on the keyboard. It's the absolute worst. How am I supposed to play a game like this?
That does sound horrific. One on the keyboard, one on a controller. That sounds like insanity.
No, it wasn't fun. I despised the act of playing this game. I can watch someone play this game, much like Witcher 3. Someone play this game, but actually playing it, no, thank you.
Watching someone play this game properly, like knowing where all the keybinds and stuff are, and knowing which gadget to use when, would actually be quite entertaining, right? Seeing how it's supposed to be done.
Have you heard of this YouTuber called Stealth Gamer BR?
I do. I have not. Sorry.
He's one of those freaks who breaks a game in half.
Like speed
a game like Dishonored, for example.
Yeah.
Right. Where this level that's got all these deadly enemies that you need to complete the objective and get out without dying, he turns into a playground.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough.
And gets millions of views. Please go check. Ladies and gents, if this sounds interesting, go YouTube Stealth Gamer BR and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. That is the epitome of watching someone play a game well.
How it's supposed to, right?
Exactly.
It must take a super long time to actually work it all out as well.
That's
it. Right? It must take
I do think so as well. Yeah. He does this thing where he decapitates an enemy and he throws their head in the air. Only to catch it 15 seconds later and on the other side of the level and then use it to push someone off a ledge.
Oh wow, that sounds pretty cool. There's no doubt. That sounds like I have to give him a look-see.
Yes.
Okay, on the other side of gameplay, split jumps are fun. There's no other game in the world where you could do a split jump. And I know it's a weird thing to say, but that's cool.
Okay, a split jump. Let's see. Is that the one where you kind of jump up a narrow...
Yeah, and you can full-on shaft. Jean-Claude Van Damme it and be like full-on splits and stand there like a weird little badass with your little...
It gave me the opportunity to do that. I didn't know what
button the
to
control
press.
Scheme, right? No, the control scheme.
I didn't know what, but of course
it.
The controls are just horrible. I just pressed every single button, and after a minute, I made my way to the top. I had no idea how I did that.
Oh, I
feel like I was reloading in Gears of War.
I forgot one of the things visually that I was meant to point out. I love this bit because it's so dumb. You know, visually, okay, this is a stealth game, so you're hiding in the corners and crouching down in darkness. Yes. And it always cracked me up that on your back you have a light switched on. I just thought, like, your character has this little LED light or something on his back. I don't know why it's there, but the idea that you could hide in the corner and there's just the bad guys just can't see this little, like, telephone screen. Just like, I just thought, why be a stealth shooter but have a light on your back? Sorry, yes. This is a weird thing.
No, it's fine. It's not even that dark.
I know, it's just really...
I tried playing the first Splinter Cell game back in, I think it was 2008. I tried playing the first Splinter Cell game, and I remember the spots where it's dark were actually super dark. You could not play those spots without your night vision goggles.
Yes, got you.
It doesn't seem that dark to me.
No,
in this game.
It wasn't super dark. No, it was like you said, it was less, like you say, really dark, like nighttime dark. There was more.
Yes, but that's what I want. The really dark. Force me to use my night vision goggles.
Yes. Well, that's one thing about the gameplay here, though. It was quite linear. Every scenario you came to, you had to use a gadget to sort out the scenario. And if you didn't, I said, if you didn't know the mapping to that gadget, it was weirdly quite complicated. Which I know we're very spoilt now with scenarios where there's seven different ways you can complete it, or you can stealth it, or you can charisma it, and all the other things. This game seemed like there was only ever one way to do it, and you had to work out that one way for you to actually get past the next bit. Like, be it knock them out, be it use the little puck thing you can throw with the gas in it, and stuff like that.
The genre you're talking about is immersive sim. Can you imagine an immersive sim Splinter Cell game where they just give you this massive level Hitman?
Hitman, yes. I kept thinking Hitman every time I played this game, and I kept thinking Hitman's better. I know it's a weird thing to say.
It is, no, I totally agree. Hitman is way better.
Yeah, the idea that Hitman's got multiple things. This is just darkness and sneaking past people a lot, and that's about it. I did love in this game, again, one of those lovely 2004s, 2000 type gaming, where there was a amount of times where you have to go to a bomb and disarm them, and there's no storyline or anything that you found a code, and so Sam just goes up to it and then just punches in a code. Like there's a default 1, 2, 3, 4 in bombs that just disarm it.
Just 5 zeros.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Sam, in the boiler room, they've planted a bomb. I'm on it. And he goes there in like 1 minute left to spare. And disarmed. It's like, it's so handy. He has those like generic like admin codes.
A skeleton code.
Yeah, it's great. He does it all the time without any...
Sam.
It's so cool. I want the code.
He's got all this MacGuffins.
And another gameplay aspect, and I put this in a bit later for value for money, and it's a big one.
I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
I think I've got it for value for money as well.
Is the multiplayer.
That's right, the multiplayer, baby!
This game, when it came out, its multiplayer was praised. It was big, it was famous. It was espionage amongst friends, hiding behind corners, using the little gadgets and stuff like that. It was a good all-round time, but that's no longer supported. Understandably so, 20 years ago.
This game is 20 years old, but geez, that sucks.
So that takes a ton out of this game. Like, a massive amount. Because this game only plays... what, 10 hours maybe, with mistakes and the like. It's not particularly a long game. So,
I mean, 10 hours is fine. It's a single-player experience. That's okay.
Yes. But the game, and you can see it in a lot of the things, but now it's no longer supported. Gameplay, it's kind of bare bones now. No, I know it's weird, because if I didn't know about the multiplayer aspect not being there, I probably wouldn't have had this feeling. I would just play the game quite happily. But now I know that literally half the game fundamentally isn't there, because the multiplayer back in the day was really popular.
Like, I can totally
super popular.
100%.
Sadly, because it's not supported anymore, I guess in theory you could LAN it. I never really looked into that. Was 2000 still the era of LANs? I can't remember.
Yes, 2004. I'm pretty sure.
So I guess
you would have been able to just create your own local
host
server.
It. Yeah, exactly. You could host it yourself. So there was a lot missing in that regards. But the gameplay, I put it out there, I'm not a patient guy when it comes to gameplay, so this gameplay was slow. If you like the slow thing, then it's much to your credit. But I kind of liked in Hitmen, when something went wrong, you could still get your two ballers out, I think they were called, and then just blow everyone away and run away. I kind of like that side of things that this game doesn't have.
I like to think I am a patient gamer.
Yes,
getting...
okay, fair enough.
But I think you're as well, playing a load of JRPGs.
Yeah,
I just
it's a weird thing to say.
I really
when I play
do
a lot
think
of JRPGs.
It's the controls for this game. It really is bad, and it stays bad for all the games. I can't figure out why they kept this. The last bit I've got about gameplay is it's tiny. I just want to say there's this bit early on in the game where you're being tracked by guys in night vision goggles and there's a spotlight in the area.
Yeah.
And then Lambert tells you, you're not going to like this.
What?
I find it very cool that to hide from the guys in the night vision goggles, you need to stay in the spotlight. How counterintuitive and just cool is
that? Yeah,
that
was a fun moment. There's no doubt.
Come on. I found that, I thought, hell yes.
That whole moment was just, again, cheesy, old school movie, like, I told
yes,
you
but
you weren't going to like
way.
It.
yes, but in a good way.
It is, I agreed. Okay, there's lots about this game which has got the 2000 charms in it. Like, there was that, every time you went to an extraction point, there was that woman, and she's the most relaxed, let's have a chat now type scenario.
Yes, just releasing a joke.
Yeah, you captured the bad guy, you held him by gunpoint, dragged him out of a broadcast studio, went to the roof, and there was a helicopter waiting for you. And then she literally just comes over to you going, oh, Sam, I don't know how you do it. And you're like, yeah, I know. It's just what I do. It's my job. And she's like, oh, we're going to say, stop talking. Get off the roof.
Just GTFO. There
just
are actual terrorists
around you. They're literally having
you.
like a water cooler conversation in the middle of the... No. But then there's a charm to the old games where they did that, because
that's
it's so
it.
Dumb, but it makes
that's
you smile.
That's it.
I know.
Come on, it reminds me. It reminds me of... Ooh, it's been months, maybe even years, when we played Mission Impossible for the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
First interaction.
Yes,
where the terrorist with a gun is cornering you and he asks you, who are you? And then Tom Cruise says, oh, I'm Frank. I'm looking for my dog.
Yes, I remember that bit entirely. In the snowy level, you went into a little
in the snowy
tent,
level,
right?
That's right.
And I love that bit. Yeah, that cheese is in a lot of 2000 places.
I love myself some cheese.
Yeah, there's
but
nothing
when
wrong with it.
It stinks of corporate greed a la Double Agent, I don't want any part of it.
Agreed. And yeah, that's the big old Ubisoft mission statement.
Come
nowadays,
on.
Isn't it?
Yeah. This one is still, I can recommend Pandora tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or at least just watching someone play Pandora tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Watching someone play it correctly and not get frustrated by the controls or doing this wrong. Yeah, it would be a decent watch. Yeah, I agree.
I think another, the copy I had of this game was not great. Partly jumping between the controller and the keyboard, was the mouse on the main menu was almost unusable.
Yeah, you said that. I found the mouse, again, we said this about older games, the scroll speed was insane. I had to turn it down to like one just so it wouldn't zoom off the freaking edge of the screen every time I tried to use it. But that was about it from my side. What happened to your side? Like, how was it unusable?
Oh, the mouse just didn't work on the main menu. It feels like I was using one of those metal ball mouses.
Oh, the trackball. Oh, the no, trackball mouse. Okay, yes. Sorry, I went even older. Did you ever use a trackball mouse?
Yes.
The ball that you just moved around with your thumb. Those things were great. I used to love those as a kid. But yeah, sorry. But yes.
Even during gameplay, the mouse just refused to work. I was moving this thing through my entire desk and nothing. So I was forced to use the controller.
Yeah.
But the controller, like you said, didn't have an action button at all. That's true. Shifting between controller and keyboard. I've already went through this spiel. This is a big issue, and I just despised the interactive act of playing this game.
Yeah, well, which that is a passion killer right there. When playing
it really
the game
is
hard to do just due to control key binding and all the other things. Yeah, that's a passion killer. You know. I'm guessing this is what we're talking about performance-wise. Then,
yes,
right?
That's my performance issues. Do you have anything?
I only need this. Again, it's the era of clipping through walls was a thing.
Oh, right. General bugs and stuff.
Which is just fairly normal, but we're kind of spoiled to some degree now when we play games, and it does. Granted, there are some games that clip through walls still, which I don't really kind of understand. But yeah, it's not. I didn't really have as big a performance issue as you did. It was janky, but it was 2000s janky, so it was perfectly normal.
I get it. Early HD era.
Yeah,
exactly. Or just before that.
Mm.
No, I get it. I totally get it. I don't have any other performance issues.
Okay, then the big question, value for money.
I've got 2 points. I think, like we mentioned earlier, there are a couple ways that you can try and play this game, kind of get through the levels. Not as much as an immersive sim, like Dishonored.
Mm.
But still, I think they give you one or two solutions for each area.
Yeah, when you know which button it's bound to.
When you know.
Yeah. No, agreed. Yeah. There would be a couple ways to get
and
things done.
And just the other obvious point, the very popular multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
A lot of people that play the multiplayer mode did so for a very long time.
Yes, yeah, no, it was. I remember at school people talking about it, like people going around people's houses and oh, I so got you last night when I was doing the split jump over the door. Whoa. No, it was a big thing. And yeah, the value for money, knowing that you can't really do that anymore, maybe with a LAN, but who's grabbing their computer and going around someone's house anymore to set it all up and get a freaking hub to plug them all in or do a circle thing or whatever it was. So yeah, its value has gone down. That said, this game is like cheap everywhere. You can get it on Steam. You can get it on even in shops. If you find the PC version in the shop, so it's really just worth like a dollar or so. It was printed to oblivion back in the day.
That could be why.
You can find this everywhere. You can buy this in trilogy packs, Tom Clancy packs, you know, like the whole collection things. It's not an expensive game, so it's quite easy to pick up if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's, if you can get past the key bindings and espionage is your type of thing, and you like 24, and you like Tom Clancy books, this is not a bad game. This is worth a go. It's better than Double Agent, which is weirdly came out later and is worse. So this was a better game.
Yes, it definitely was. I think the first three Splinter Cell games, the original trilogy, I think those are good and peaked with Pandora Tomorrow. I really do think that. The controls are just mind-numbingly horrid, but that really is about it.
No, agreed. This game, like I said, this isn't really my type of genre of game, but when playing this, you have that feeling that this is kind of special. I get why. In 2004, like magazines, it was on the front cover of magazines.
I got that as well. I totally got that.
Yeah, you got that feeling like, yeah, this was a game changer of a game.
This does have that special, the specialness, the sauce.
The special sauce.
It does have it.
No, it does. It just doesn't translate that well to today because it's 20 years old and stuff. But again, this is one of those ones I'd put in the History Museum archive. This is why we have good Hitman games today. And this is why we have some of the combat tactical shooter things we have.
So we can thank this.
Yeah, exactly. Because this was a big step in the evolution of gaming. It really was.
What would, if the developers for Hitman, IO Interactive,
yeah,
do you think they would make a good Splinter Cell game?
Yeah, they'd certainly know what they're doing, as long as they didn't do it all episodic and stuff like the last one, which I didn't like.
Oh, do you not like the episodic?
Oh, no, that kind of bugged me. But then I'm old school and grumpy and like an old man thing. I want everything now. But the games they did make were very good. Full levels, very interactive, very different scenarios you could do. They did make very good games, or do make very good games.
Now, with them having finished the Hitman World of Assassination trilogy, that is a incredibly good package.
Yes, agreed.
With all the Hitman levels, I mean.
Yes. If I was going to say choose one between Splinter Cell and Hitman, Hitman all day, every day.
Yes, yes, like, easy. Hitman easy. Yeah. The newer ones, for sure.
Even the older ones, I watched my brother complete them years ago. They are great. Really? They are great. They're so...
I've never played the older ones.
Oh, you should. They're so complex. There's the same level of complexity in dressing up as a florist and a butcher and hiding bodies. No, they're great.
Okay, looking forward to it. List if you can hear us.
Yeah, list if you're hearing this. Yeah, exactly. But do Half-Life 2 first, please. List,
yes, list, please.
In ages. Such a long time.
Anyway, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow is a very special game that definitely has the sauce.
Yeah, definitely.
It does have the sauce. It doesn't have the control scheme, unfortunately.
Yeah, you just need a controller that's got like 27 buttons on it. That's it. Just make a controller. You're down.
In the original Xbox controller.
Yeah. Like, they had hidden buttons or something because that's the only way you could play this.
I can't. Anyway. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow. Our scores, oh man, how did we do it? We dropped them in a multiplayer session that a lot of people have been playing for years, espionaging the hell out of each other, and the only one that made it in the end was the letter grade rating of C-, which I think we've had loads of C- games the past while.
Yeah, I do like how C- is what we gave Tiny Toon Adventures, which is just cracks me up. That they're by our grading, that's the same level of game, which is comparative to their consoles is very true. Tiny Toon Adventures is a C-.
That
is
very true.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true. So, fondly remembered, but not making it into that VIP club.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is sad. I can do with some. Please, list, give us some B's.
Yes.
Some A's.
Well, we got some potentially coming up, which should be B's and A's. Like I said, we got some indie games coming up, and they normally knock it out the park. So, I'm sure we're having something pretty decent soon.
I'm looking forward to it. When's the last time we even had an A?
We haven't had an A in a while. The last recent one was Stellar Blade, and that was a B+.
That wasn't even an A. Here we go.
That wasn't an A, yeah.
A-. Oh, two almost back-to-back. Persona 3 Reload and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Both A-.
Yeah. Nothing has scored an A+.
No. I don't think anything will.
Yeah, I don't think how a game is going to get that prestigious title from us. I don't know what it's going to do. Like, just give us money as we complete each level or something. I don't know how they're going to get it, but it's out there somewhere.
But I'm happy with the C- for
agreed.
Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow.
And it would be higher if the multiplayer was kind of supported.
Yes,
but of course
if they just made controls that worked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's horrendous. But anyway, that was the episode. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you'd be so kind, you could leave us a review. We'd be very appreciative. You could follow us on Instagram or YouTube. I, have made my own YouTube channel.
Yay.
Very exciting. I'm gonna just post things that I find interesting, video essays on games, movies, books, things that I find cool. So go check us out. Go check me out on YouTube. We're on Critical Arcade on YouTube, and I'm Nick Hendricks on YouTube. I'm also Nick at criticalarcade.com,
and I'm Dave at criticalarcade.com.
besides for your email, Dave, where else can we find you?
Oh, well, I am out and about, but I did. I've been having talks with Ubisoft, and Ubisoft wants to start merchandising mugs the size of your head. So I'm starting a little company, and I need employees, and I will get you as my only employee to manufacture these massive mugs with a little Ubisoft outside on it for commercialization around the world. But I will pay you less than like China does in its own place. You'll be basically just slave labor. I know it's a bit dark, but that's what will happen. Or don't follow me.
Making massive mugs. Don't just follow Dave.
Just it is as massive easy as mugs that. For some reason, yeah.
Rather follow us on Patreon for exclusive content like our post show and critical cinema, which is very cute.
Just need to teach him how to watch good movies. Like, who hasn't watched Total Recall? Like, come on, it's got three boobs in it. Like,
it really does. I think it's got more than three.
Yeah, if that's not enough to just pique your interest, it's insane.
Any movie that has an uneven amount of boobs piques my interest. In fact, any movie that's even got an even amount of boobs piques my interest.
Then of course. Anything, yeah. That's what movies are there for, right? So I was just thinking of a movie where a woman had one boob and for some reason that made me laugh. Like you'd be like, ooh, she's missing.
Oh, of course.
Ooh, wow, okay, this is interesting though.
Kung Pao? Have you seen Kung Pao?
That's not that one where he fights a cow or something.
Yes, it is that movie. And I think it's the Oracle lady that he falls in love with.
Yeah.
Is a uniboob.
It's a weird tangent, ladies and gents. South Africans love that movie, by the way.
Yes,
you
we do.
You love it. In school, people were talking about it.
Yes.
Everybody's watched that out here. I'd never watched that movie until coming to South Africa because someone made me watch it. It's weird. There's a weird thing about South Africans, just so you know.
It is weird.
But anyway.
It's also a good movie. But
it's a silly movie. I'll give you that.
Dave, how about you tell us, what have we got lined up for next week?
Well, next week, like I said earlier, we've got an indie game, which is always it's always very exciting. We love indie games over here. And it's a classic, I believe it's a classic point-and-click adventure called Gemini Rue. And it's got those vibes of like Monkey Island or even
yes.
Under a Steel Sky. There was one that's very, or Blade Runner. So
yes,
I like I said, I haven't played a point and click adventure game in years. So I look forward to seeing if they can still catch my attention still.
Same.
Right? It's been such
a
long time.
It does.
Yeah.
But this is our indie game for the Indie 500. I think it is going to be good, of course.
So the reviews are supposedly quite good for it. So I am excited because I haven't played these in a long time. And they're narratively focused, which is kind of my jam. So
yes,
we'll see if it can how it scores next week.
Anyway, tune in next week if you want to hear us talk about Gemini Rue. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.